Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220. I hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we're going to go ahead and get into things here this evening. And let's go ahead and have a word of prayer before we hop into things. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. Thank you for, again, making this possible. Lord, just pray that you would bless, help us to be a blessing, encouragement to somebody tonight. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ. Help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. Use us for your glory, we pray. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you here tonight, and I hope you're doing well. What a beautiful day today here in northeastern Ohio. I mean, any time in March you get above 60 degrees, and sunshine. Not just the warm temperature, but actual bright spot in the sky shining down with something that you could feel warm when you stood in it. I mean, that was just such a nice day. And so I hope you were able to get out and enjoy that a little bit. Came out from my house this morning to go to church, and it was cold. We were still below freezing, and I think we were like around 30 degrees or something like that. And what a difference. Came out of church later on. I think came out of the building about 1:30 or something like that. And wow, what a nice temperature change. And then later on, going to the nursing home service that we have and different things, it just made a real difference and really nice, really enjoyable. And no rain, no wind, just comfortable, really nice. Wanted to mention a couple things here before we get started. Of course, I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and certainly invite you to join us out there sometime. Visit us at, we meet in the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Richfield Holiday Inn Express is located at 571 Brecksville Road. That's 5171 Brecksville Road. We're in northern Summit County, midway between Akron and Cleveland, right where Interstate 77 and the Ohio Turnpike cross. And we'd love to have you come out and visit us sometime. We're there every Sunday. We'll have some more of this information later on in the program as well. But we're there every Sunday. We have a 10 o'clock Bible study. And then our 11 o'clock service, I'm preaching through the book of 1 Thessalonians. And then on Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, we have our evening service. I'm currently preaching through the book of Proverbs on Sunday evenings. And then we have our Friday night Bible study every Friday night from 7 o'clock on. Officially, it goes till 9. A lot of times, people stay for an hour or so afterwards just talking. So we have an enjoyable time there. So I want to encourage you to come out and visit sometime. If we can be a help to you, if you're looking for a place where you can learn the Bible, that's our goal. We try to help people understand God's Word, understand what He said and what He wants us to know and how to apply it in our lives. And it's one of the reasons we do the program with the theme asking questions about questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. And so those number of things that we talk about. So as I said, our telephone number is 888-677-9673. And we'd love to hear from you tonight. Also wanted to remind you, check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And you can find out more about us and even follow our program, like our program there on Facebook, and follow, learn more about. Try to put a number of things up there from time to time that I hear about or I'm looking at maybe when I'm trying to research some things for church or for radio programs, things like that. That's all on. I'll put those things oftentimes on our Facebook page. So we encourage you to check us out at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And then, of course, broadcasting live on YouTube. And so let's see. Going to get to some callers here in just a minute, but I did need to mention something, too, before I go again. I want to give my thanks to Molly Smith and the Bringing America Back to Life conference that was this past weekend at the Embassy Suites here in Independence, Ohio, just across the street and on the other side of the highway, basically, from where we're at right now, and had opportunity to be there, and it was an outstanding conference this year, and I was actually helping somebody out with some things at a table as well, and it was really nice. I mean, just a good turnout, and they even received a letter from President Donald Trump. I think this was the first, a letter from a sitting president telling how much he appreciated what they're doing, what Right to Life is doing here in Ohio, and also what they're doing at the Bringing America Back to Life conference, and certainly he sent his greetings to all that were there. So an exciting thing, and I hope you'll take note of that. Maybe get a chance to at least visit it, to maybe listen to some of the speakers. And one of the speakers that I wanted to mention, the name is not in front of me right now. Maybe I'll think about it later on, but he was a doctor, OBGYN doctor, obstetrician down in Pensacola, Florida. And one of the things that really was exciting to hear about, in addition to the advances in surgeries on unborn babies, that's just incredible. Some of the ability, the things they're able to do, surgery, heart surgery, spinal surgery, all kinds of things on unborn children. It's absolutely amazing what they're able to do. But the thing that was exciting is the work that they are doing in reversing the RU486 pill. They're actually now able to prescribe some treatments which in many cases have stopped the RU486 from causing the child to be aborted, and they have had success in quite a number of children where the effects of the RU486 were stopped. And the pregnancy was able to proceed into completion, and the baby was born healthy. And so that's an exciting development, because they said many of the times when a woman decides that she would like to stop it is in the parking lot, or they pull over on the way home from being at the Planned Parenthood facility or wherever, where they're given the RU486, and they get out to the parking lot and they're overcome with remorse for what they've done. They realize they're killing their child, and so they've had some very promising success with some treatment where they can actually stop and reverse. He likened it to Narcan, you know, when you have somebody that's completely out comatose because of the drug, and they administer Narcan, it's like poof, they sit right up, like, oh, what's going on? Where have I been? Who are you? And it's amazing. So hopefully we'll be able to talk about that maybe some more in the future date as we find out more information about developments there. But I just wanted to share that was one of the more exciting things that I learned about at the Bringing America Back to Life conference that was here in Independence this past week. So check them out online. I believe it's bringingamericabacktolife.org. That's bringingamericabacktolife.org. They'll have a number of the people there the sessions that they had and the people who were speaking available at bringingamericabacktolife.org, and you'll be able to enjoy some of those programs. And just a moment here, and I'm going to get to our callers here, but the doctor was, and I just had it, Dr. William Lyle. There he is. And Dr. William Lyle, you can look him up online, and you can see some of the amazing work that he's doing. Or you can go to bringingamericabacktolife.org, and you'll find him there on the program for Saturday morning. All right, we're going to get into our calls here this evening. And as I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can call toll-free 888-677-9673. And Nancy's first up for us tonight. Nancy, welcome to the program. Hello, Nancy. I'm sorry. Let me turn this up and see if I can hear. Wait a minute. Is Nancy trying to talk?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, I'm here.
There we are. I don't know. I was just didn't hear anything, so.
Okay. Listen, Pastor Andy, you know, I go to Bible Baptist Temple.
Right.
He preached on Psalm 94:16.
Mm-hmm.
Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand for me against the workers of iniquity? Now, I have two questions about that. Is that directed to Christians? And number two, I would definitely think that Donald Trump would be a good example of that, because he's been very bold, speaking, being pro-life against Planned Parenthood and defunding them, and he's very, very much for the Israelites, you know, moving the embassy to Jerusalem, and just done many things to enabling Christians to have more religious freedom, which was sort of being squelched under previous administration. So those are my two questions. Is Psalm 94:16, is that referring to Christians only, or can be anyone that's rising up against the evildoers? And then, would you think that would apply to Donald Trump? Well, if you assume that this is only referring to Christians, and if you don't believe that President Trump is a Christian, which I personally do, I've seen such a dramatic change in him from a few years ago, and I think that I heard you say something to the effect that you thought, from the change in his behavior, that he is born again. So thank you.
Yeah, I'll sort of start with the last part that you just said there first. There's abundant example of change, and some people say, well, but he's profane. He says rude things. And, it's it almost sounds bad to say it, but I can think of many people who I know are saved. I have no reason to doubt their salvation, who have been saved. And sad to say, I've known of some people in the ministry who use profane language when mm-hmm. they get upset mm-hmm. or when they're with friends or something like that. And I'm not justifying, I'm not condoning it. I don't think it's appropriate at any time. But yet, I've seen people who have been ministers. I've seen people who have been deacons. I've seen people who have been Sunday school teachers say rude and crude and profane and use profanity. And that's not something that determines whether or not somebody's a Christian. I do believe that if somebody's a Christian, there should be a change in the things that they say.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly somebody who's used profane language most of their life, it can be hard to give it up. You know, it can be hard to even say it without even realizing it oftentimes. Best way is just never to get into the habit of doing it. If we can keep young people from developing the habit, You know, it's like smoking. Amen. The best way to, mm-hmm. to give up smoking is to never smoke. You know, people who
exactly.
smoke,
yeah.
it's hard. I have siblings mm-hmm. who have struggled with smoking. Best thing that ever happened to me when I was a kid, my older brother and his friends, because I was, you know, little brother tagging along, I just a little kid, and they gave me a cigarette that they had gotten some cigarettes, and they said, take as deep a breath as you can. I thought I was going to die.
Oh, no.
I'm the only one of my brothers that didn't smoke. I was inoculated against it, let me tell you. And I'm so thankful. I mean, they get a good laugh at me, but I was I'm so thankful looking back because I never had to work to give up cigarettes because I was inoculated against them. And so anyway, we're digressing from what we were talking about before.
Right.
And so I do believe that President Trump, there's credible evidence that he saved, that he got saved during the campaign for president.
Mm-hmm.
And we see some of his works. You know, the Bible talks about, you know, the fruits, and we see some of the fruits. He has become the most pro-life president we have ever seen.
Absolutely.
He has been, outside of President Ronald Reagan, probably the greatest friend of Israel of any president that we've ever seen. You could argue, of course, President Truman was a great friend of Israel. After all, he recognized the state of Israel, first world leader to do so.
Yeah,
that's because he grew up in a Baptist church, and he knew that that was of God. And then, of course, he has been one of the greatest friends of Christians of just about any president that we've ever seen. In just so many areas there. Is he perfect? Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. Does he say things that they wish that he never said? Absolutely. And, you know, of course, you know, point out a Christian that's perfect and never says anything that they shouldn't say. I mean, it's so at any rate, you know, but it all boils down to did he or did he not put his faith in Christ as his Savior? And there's pastors and other Christian leaders out there that have assured us that he did. He prays with people. He routinely has pastors in the Oval Office praying with him.
Amen.
And the thing that to me makes it seem more certain is he doesn't blatantly go out there and go, look at me, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it's done privately. And
and
just like that letter that he sent to the Bringing America Back to Life conference in Independence that they read last night. And he, you know, he felt moved to do that. He has been one of the greatest friends of the unborn children that we've seen in the Oval Office.
Oh, absolutely.
Since Roe v. Wade. I mean, absolutely tremendous. Yeah. Look at the judges that he's putting on the federal courts.
Absolutely.
I mean, this,
life.
So, you know, we have much to celebrate there, but you know, we still have much land to be possessed, as the Bible says. And then getting down to Psalm,
94.
Or 94, that's
16.
Right.
94, 16, who will rise up for me, evildoers?
Yeah.
And I just want to put in a little plug for Pastor Sanders.
Yeah.
He is truly a doer of the word. For 40 years, he has gone to those abortion clinics. And he doesn't just, he doesn't yell at the women going in. He's praying for them, and he wants to help them to stop them from going into the clinics. But he has many ministries, and you know that's his slogan: "Doers of the Word." And he is truly. But you know, you have a great ministry, and so is Pastor Andy. All the good ministers have their own way of serving the Lord.
Oh, absolutely, and we're all part, you know, having a role to play. And some churches will do more. That's like there's some churches that have Bible institutes, but not every church can. Some churches have missions agencies. Not every church can. You know, some churches have various types of ministries, but not every church can. You know, and just like people inside of your individual church, some will be very skilled in the music ministry, but not everybody else is. Some are very skilled in the teaching ministry, but not everybody else is. But all working together, what do we do? We come together to serve God, don't we, for the glory of God, not for the glory of self, and even for the glory of our individual churches. We all come together for the glory of God, to lift up the name of Christ, and hopefully people be drawn to him. But yeah, Psalm 94, verse 16, where he says, "Who will rise up for me against the evildoers, or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity?" Obviously, the psalm was addressed to the Jewish believers of the day, obviously.
Oh, okay.
But we apply that teaching towards Christians today. You know, the things in the Old Testament were written for our admonition. We learn from them, and this is a principle that God is still looking for today. During the time of King David, King Solomon, you know, the kingdom era there, when these psalms were, many of these psalms were written, you know, we had this question that was being asked: who's going to stand up for the Lord? Who is going to stand against the evildoers? Who is going to stand and defend God's people? Who's going to stand for what's right? And that's a principle that predates the Jewish nation. That's a principle, really, it goes all the way back, if you think about it, in the Garden of Eden, when Cain and Abel were there. Remember Cain and Abel? Cain killed his brother Abel. What had Abel done? Abel had brought the sacrifice that God had asked for. He sacrificed one of the sheep that he had raised. He stood up for what was right. He stood up against the witness of his brother. His brother did what was right in his own eyes. And so we can follow this principle through the Bible, people standing up for what was right. And today, most certainly today, God is still looking for people who will stand up for what is right. And I think the primary application today is certainly going to be for believers. I mean, it's great when an unsaved person stands up for what's right. They ought to. I mean, the principles that are there in society. But the primary application today, I would say, is for Christians, for born-again Christians. It's our responsibility to stand up for God against the evildoers. God wants to work through us. He told us we're to be salt and light in the world. And so we're to stand up with Christ, with God, against the workers of iniquity. And,
I just wanted to say, you and Chris Long have gone many times to Columbus, you know, to fight for different, you know, like the heartbeat bill and just different Christian causes, and I just wanted to applaud you and Janet Bowles, reporter. Boy, she worked for years. She never gave up about the heartbeat bill and finally went through. And then Double X, what he's gone through, you know, he's always stands for righteousness. I don't know if you know Double X. He's on Pastor Sanders' show. And he was incarcerated, I think it was like 188 days, only for having some kind of like Skeeter guns in his the trunk of his car. It was totally a bogus charge, but he is very vocal about standing up for righteousness. There's just so many people you know, that, you know, have stood up for righteousness. And I just wanted to say real quick, I did attend the Bringing America Back to Life conference about 5 years ago, headed up by Molly Smith. It was wonderful. It was absolutely a wonderful program, and I'm sure every year it's just, you know, a fabulous. I would like to go back there again. I just never
Like I said, you can go online, bringingamericabacktolife.org, and I believe that some of the speakers are all going to be available online.
Oh, cool.
So, but yeah. Hey, Nancy, I want to thank you for your call tonight. We're running up against the break here. And
thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, so I'm glad we got it on. Good question here about President Trump and then Psalm 94 here. And, you know, we just we need to do what's right. You know, I was just thinking, we were talking about standing up against the workers of iniquity. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Bible tells us that the mystery of iniquity is working in the world right now. And it's being hindered by the work of the Holy Spirit. Well, how does the Holy Spirit work in the world right now? He works through the believers, doesn't he?
Through the believers, Psalm 94, 1 through 15, it's like, if I understand correctly, it's people asking God to punish, avenge, you know, the evildoers. But I guess God is responding and saying, people do it. I mean, God can't jump out of the sky and do things. He's depending upon people to accomplish his will.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think it's a fabulous.
Well, and sometimes,
okay, thank you.
Yeah, I was going to say, sometimes God will use the unsaved to accomplish his will. Look what he did with Nebuchadnezzar.
Amen.
Look what he did with Balaam's donkey. So
I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you,
Nancy. You appreciate that.
Answer my question.
Yeah, appreciate that.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got Tom, Terry, and John waiting, but I think the break is coming up. I don't know. We come back from the break, we'll catch up with Tom first, I think, and then we'll hit Terry and John, and we'll just follow through there. And I just want to encourage you to check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And let's see, there was something else I was going to mention here. What did you say? You have about a minute left? And I don't have time to get to Tom here in that minute, I think, so that'll be unfair for him. But I wanted to mention a little bit on the coronavirus or COVID-19 that people are just really getting unreasonably fearful over. You know, we need to put things in perspective. There's really not that many cases of it worldwide. Say, well, wait a minute, it's all over the news. Right, that's the problem. Everybody's worried about it. You got more to worry about with the flu, if you think about it. There's people, you know, hospitals filled with people suffering from the flu. There's people dying all over the place from the flu. And people just don't think about it because we're used to the flu. As of the end of January, now, and it's gone up since then, but as of the end of January, there were over 15 million cases of the flu this flu season in the United States alone, and it's only grown since then. And there, as the end of January, there was over 8,200 deaths in the United States alone, with over 54 of them being children. How many people have died from the coronavirus worldwide? About 3,800 worldwide. Puts things in perspective, doesn't it? Well, hey, we're coming up on the break. I hope you'll just keep listening, and we've got another half hour to go, and we'll be joined by some more callers when we come out of the break. So stay
tuned.
You're
listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever That means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us, and you can join in the conversation here tonight, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We've got a number of people on tap, ready and waiting to go, and we'll be running through people. I guess we've got Tom, Terry, and John waiting, and we're going to kind of run through them in that order. But just a quick reminder, check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can also go to facebook.com/livewithpastoral. It's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. You can like us there, follow us there on Facebook. All right, well, we're going to get into a couple of more things here this evening, and I want to jump right back into our callers here since we got a number of people waiting, and we have got Tom coming up next. Tom, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, hi, Pastor Al. Thank you.
Hey, look, we got you in pretty early tonight, huh?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Well, and you got called in a little earlier too. So
I'm going to have a quick question, but I'd like to comment on the last call, and I'd say, you know, I agree with you. I don't necessarily have to have a born again Christian to be president. I expect my representatives to represent the will of the people and abide by the Constitution, though.
Yes. And that is true.
And as far as Christians, I think sometimes we rest our laurels on our elected officials, and instead of getting out and doing the work of the evangelist that we're all called to do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And of course, we're not electing presidents when we elect officials, whether it's a president, a governor, a representative, a senator, or whatever,
exactly.
County commissioner or whatever, a town hall member, you know, town member.
Yeah, because I think if we're hoping for, you know, a full Congress and a president to be born again, I think we're daydreaming.
Absolutely. I agree with that. But, you know, we want to do the best that we can, and we are in that election season, because
right.
We've got the primaries going on. In fact, Ohio's primary is going to be a week from Tuesday.
Right.
You know, there's a number of primaries going on this coming Tuesday. We had Super Tuesday last week, I believe it was, and then Ohio's primary coming up a week from Tuesday, and certainly encourage people to get out and vote and pray about who you vote for, because a lot of people don't understand the purpose of the primaries. People in, you know, I work at the elections, the polling station in Richfield, and it's amazing how many people come in and complain in November about the candidates that they have to choose from. Who picks these people? Well, here's the answer. You do.
Yeah.
you know, you go in the primary, and if you pick a Green Party ticket, I picked that because Election Day is going to be on St. Patrick's Day this year, so I guess that'd be fitting. People should pick the Green Party ticket, right?
Oh, but, is that right? Yeah.
But anyway. No, you pick the Republican ticket, the Democrat ticket, the Green Party ticket, the Libertarian Party ticket. But what you're doing when you take that ballot, you are telling that party who you want them to run for president. Or for governor, or for
right.
representative, or senator, whoever's in the primary on the ballot. You are the one who is telling the party, I want this person to be the candidate. And then in the fall, you go to the ballot, and you'll have the party that the Green Party put, the candidates the Green Party put forward, the Republican Party, the Libertarian Party, the Democrat Party, and now you will choose from those candidates who to elect to the office. And people don't understand that. It's our opportunity. It's our privilege to be able to have this freedom to have a say in who those candidates are.
Well, there you go. Anyway, I got a question for you. I turned the station on a little bit early, you know, waiting for your program, and the previous station, they were debating Book of Revelation and various things, but what caught my attention was the 144,000, where the comment was thrown out that, well, they really didn't know what the 144,000 were. I think they were debunking the idea that these were Jewish people that were going to be evangelizing Christ.
That's I mean, we can let the scriptures tell us who they are. But
yeah, so, you know, basically that he said they were sealed and that's all he knew, but he debunked the idea that that these people were going to carry the gospel,
they were
called to evangelize. So who are the 144,000 real quickly?
Okay.
What is their purpose, and does it support the idea that the church is gone?
A couple of things going on with that, but let's start with what the Bible says, okay? The Bible gives us the definition of 144,000. I did not hear the program. I don't know the context. I don't know if he's read this very carefully or not.
I only caught it a couple minutes before your show. So.
But it is a good question, and I remember dealing with this with some Jehovah's Witnesses one time, and they were trying to tell me the 144,000 were 144,000 specially selected Jehovah's Witnesses, and they're already chosen. But here's what the Bible says. And
they're daydreaming too.
Yeah. Well, I think that you and the people listening are intelligent enough to understand what the scriptures say if it says something plainly. So here's what it says, okay? This is not my opinion. This is not Pastor Al's opinion or Tom's opinion.
Right.
Everybody, this is the Word of God, Revelation chapter 7, verse 4. He says, and I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000. Let me pause there for a minute. There's our 144,000. They're sealed. So who are they? Of all the tribes of the children of Israel. That's kind of vague language, isn't it?
So
I say that tongue in cheek, obviously.
12 tribes.
Yeah, and it says 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. There it is, black and white. And then he continues. Verse 5, of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. You get the point here? There's 12 tribes. 12 times 12 is 144. So 12,000 times 12,000 is 144,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Nephilim were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. So who are the 144,000?
It's the 12 tribes times 12,000 each.
12,000 from each tribe.
Of Jewish people who will definitely believe in Jesus and will carry the gospel.
Oh, obviously. Now, let's go to chapter 14. That was Revelation chapter 7. We know they're Jewish because they're of the 12 tribes. Here in chapter 14, he gives us some more information. And like I said, I don't know how carefully they read the Bible. If they just something that they heard, they never looked into it again. I don't know. I can't give motivation or anything. People hear things and they don't always know what they heard, or they just they heard something that somebody once said in church and they don't know. But in Revelation 14 and verse 1, it tells us this. It says, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood in the Mount Zion. Now, we know who the lamb is. That's Jesus Christ. He's described for us elsewhere, the Lamb of God. And with him, so this tells us that they know who Jesus is, and he appears to them on Mount Zion with him 144,000. Well, there's 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. Well, we know from elsewhere in the scriptures in Revelation that God's name is on the head and the foreheads of his children. We see that in Revelation 4 and 5, I believe it is. And when we're looking at this, it says And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder, I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sung as it were a new song. And before the throne, before the four beasts and the elders, no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. Now, these are people who are redeemed. And let me just move over here just a second. My computer tells me it's wanting to die, and it looks like the power cord got turned off or something somehow. Well, I don't know. I tried to flip it with my foot, and I think I got it.
Well, thank you.
Oh, I don't know. It's either going to die at my computer's either going to die. I don't know. I'm plugged in, and my computer says I'm running out of battery power. I don't know. So if you're watching online on YouTube and it suddenly dies, I don't know what's going on. Something always happens. You know, it's I'm limited in what I can do when I'm trying to do the program and things like this happen. But I'm plugged in up here. I don't know if it's something's happened down there on the floor or what, but I'm sorry about this, Tom. It's just...
Oh, no, that's okay. That things happen.
Yeah. I don't know. Does that come
probably
loose right there?
Because we're talking about
yeah.
something that the devil doesn't want us
yeah.
to talk about.
Let me get back to this, though. He continues on describing who the 144,000 are. It says at the end of verse 3, which were redeemed from the earth. Thank you. I think we're set. Yeah, Craig just came in and he ran away from the phones that he maintains and came in and helped me out. So I appreciate that. Thank you so much. I think we're back with, I think we're cooking with power here again. But it says right here at the end of chapter 14, verse 3, they were redeemed from the earth. Well, what does that tell us about them? They're with the Lamb on Mount Zion. They've got the Father's name written in their foreheads. They're redeemed from the earth.
They're Christians.
This is 144,000 Jewish individuals that are redeemed. They're believers. I don't know how somebody would miss this. Well, it gets even more detailed. Verse number 4. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. Well, this implies that they're men. And most likely young men. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. They're following Christ. These were redeemed from among men. Again, indicating that they're men, but also indicating that they came from the unsaved and became believers. And then notice this, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb, which tells us right there, these are some of the first people to embrace Christ as their Savior, or in the case of the Jewish people here, as their Messiah during the tribulation period.
Oh, wonderful. Thank
and,
you.
And then it says in verse 5, and in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God, which tells us again, they're redeemed. Mm-hmm. Because what did God do with us when we trusted Christ as our Savior?
Yeah. So these
our sins are gone.
These men are spirit-filled.
Yes. Now, again, I don't know the context of the program. Maybe we don't know exactly what was going on.
I don't want to criticize.
No, but it plainly says who they are.
Yeah, I wanted you to explain exactly.
Yeah, very clearly who they are. So what do you think, it just stands with the reason, what do you think 144,000 redeemed Jewish men redeemed at the beginning of the tribulation are going to do?
They're going to preach the gospel throughout
exactly.
the world.
Exactly. And that's who they are, Tom. And,
amen.
Yeah. Hey, that was good that you brought that out, because that's just a good study, too.
That's very important. And there's a lot of people out there that are confused, and I'm not criticizing them. But let's divide the word of the God,
exactly.
word of God correctly.
Well, just you read it and let the scriptures tell you what they say.
Amen.
And it's amazing how much you can find out just by reading and paying attention. As I was telling somebody today, God put something between your ears to do more than keep them apart.
Amen.
He wants us to think. He wants us to reason.
Amen.
And when we read something and we apply a little thought and reason, there it is, the answer.
Well, Thank you. And you explained it so clearly and so perfectly.
Well, but it's right there in the scripture, and that's all basically we had to do is read it. So, hey, Tom,
Amen.
Thanks for that. We're quickly running out of time. We're glad you got you in a little earlier today.
Thank you.
And we've got a couple more people calling in. And, boy, we're going to have to move along quickly, I guess. John, we'll get to John here real quick. And, John, welcome to the program.
How are you tonight?
I am doing well. How about yourself?
Good. I had a question about Acts 12:4.
Acts 12:4. Okay. Let me run over there real quick, and then hopefully we'll get through and get to Terry as well here. So Acts 12, you said, in verse 4? Okay. Yeah.
I know you've discussed this verse before.
Oh, yeah. And actually, we'll be talking about this more in a few weeks.
But I've looked in 10 different other translations, and it's only in the King James that it has the word Easter.
The word Easter, correct, yes. And it comes from Pascha, which is the same word that was translated as Passover, but they used Easter, and the word Easter was used in the first century to denote the Christian Passover. I'm sorry, I have to hit this real quick, John, because we'll talk about this more, I promise, in depth in just a few weeks as we get closer to Easter. Easter here is not the Feast of Ishtar. Otherwise, it would not have been the word Pascha, I believe it is, or Pesh, which is the Greek word that's used there. They distinguished between the Christian Passover or Easter and the Jewish Passover because it says in this chapter here that Herod had killed James and then had Peter in jail. And when you read verse 3, it says, because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. So we know that it's during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which follows the Jewish Passover. Over. And then it says he'd apprehend him, put him in prison, delivered him 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people during the what we would call the Christian Passover, which is the celebration of the resurrection of Christ, which obviously took place after the Jewish Passover.
I had just a quick question.
Yes.
I was listening to the Catholic Channel today, mm-hmm. They indicated that the observance of Lent is culminated in Easter, and I'm wondering...
In the Catholic Church and some Protestant churches is, but I'm neither Catholic nor Protestant. I'm Baptist, and Lent is not in the Bible, really, but they do it.
My question is the fact that the writers of the King James uses Easter, did they also observe Lent?
Some of them may have, but again, as I said, John, and I'll have to leave it at this so I can get to Terry as well, the word Easter was used not to signify the Feast of Ishtar or anything like that. It was used to signify the celebration of the resurrection or the remembrance of the resurrection of Christ. That word, Pasch, was used in reference to that, but that Easter here in the King James Bible is to help us distinguish between the Jewish Passover, which preceded the days of unleavened bread, and the Christian Passover, which followed the days of unleavened bread. Obviously, Jesus was sacrificed as our Passover lamb at the time that the lambs were being sacrificed for Passover, because he was our Passover lamb. But then he rose from the dead after Passover. And so Easter here is perfectly appropriate. We'll go into this into some detail in a future program here in a couple of weeks. So we'll have to let it go right there. King James is absolutely correct to use the word Easter here, because that's the word to signify the celebration of the resurrection of Christ. It's not translated from Ishtar, which I used to believe that, but when you look at the scriptures, it's not. And the word Easter actually,
did the writers of the King James observe Lent?
I told you already, John, some of them may have. I don't know all of them. Some of them may have, some of them may not have, but Easter was here to signify the Christian Passover, the remembrance of the the resurrection of Christ. We'll have to let it go with that for now, John, because, I mean, I've already said I don't know what they celebrated. Some of them may have celebrated Lent. Probably some did. Some may not have. So, you know, we'll have to go with that right there. But I do appreciate the call. Stay tuned. We'll discuss this in more detail in a few weeks. But appreciate that, John. Thank you. And we'll get to Terry here tonight, and as well, we'll pick up the Easter question at a later date. Terry, welcome to the program. Sorry to keep you waiting there.
That's okay. I was going to mention that I don't mind being picked last, and even if I call in first.
Oh, that's okay. We're kind of jumping around tonight, and so I thought John would probably be a little bit shorter than you as well, so I kind of wanted to get to him and so I can get back to you. So.
And I was going to also say that, you know, if you don't have time for me, I'm an understanding person.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, that's fine. And like I was explaining to John, we're going to get to the Easter question in a few weeks. And, you know, I can only answer that I don't know how many people that on the translation committee observed Lent and how many didn't. After I answer three times, it's time to move on.
I was just I was going to talk about Matthew chapter 7. That's one of the chapters that I've been studying.
Mm-hmm.
And man, there's a lot in there, and a lot about the church, you know, or people that say they're Christians but are not, you know, that just serve God, you know, like going to church on Sunday, or you know, not really getting serious with God, you know.
Well, and that's been all throughout, you know, the Jewish history, and even before that, people who claim that they follow God but really don't.
Yeah, that's a sad thing about it, because there's so many people out there, like so many false prophets and so many people that are not serving the Lord. They just, you know, say a few words and then they just go about their own business, not doing anything.
Well, and
every good tree. Every good tree bears forth good fruit, but every corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit.
Right.
And it says that we'll know them by their fruits.
Yeah, and we don't always know the heart of somebody, but, you know, when we, in a sense, inspect the fruits, you can get a good idea. You can get a good idea.
And it could be, Satan is like an angel of light, right? He can make himself you're so perfect. But
oh, absolutely. He'll sound like your best friend, and he's going to guide you into spiritual truths. But in reality, he's trying to pull you in the wrong direction. And there's people like that, because even as we're looking down in this, he says that not everybody says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. He says in verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Because if they don't know Christ as their Savior, it doesn't matter what they do.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's the sad thing about it. You mm-hmm. don't recognize that Jesus is one God. There's only one God.
Yeah, exactly.
One Savior.
And that's why he said a little earlier, look, just skimming through Matthew 7 here, because it is a great chapter, where he said in verse 13, enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Straight there doesn't mean just narrow, like a straight line. It means narrow. It means hemmed right. in.
It says, beware of false prophets that come.
Yeah, the very next thing. Yeah.
But inward they are raven wolves.
Mm-hmm.
Raven wolves.
And then what is he saying? Ye shall know them by their fruits. Exactly.
That's what we have to watch out for.
And of course, people say, oh, judge not, lest ye be judged. But the Bible says to judge with righteous judgment, which right. means we can't judge using ourselves as the standard. We use God and his word as the standard. You know, like Isaiah said, to the law and to the testimony, they speak not according to these things because there's no light in them. But, yeah.
Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, yeah, and thanks for bringing that up. That's good to look at. We need to be aware. We need to be watching what we're looking at and hearing, and we need to be considering and testing. And, you know, the Bible says try the spirits, because not all of them are from God, are they?
So, any spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God.
Amen to that. That's absolutely right. Well, thank you, Terry, for calling tonight. I appreciate that. and glad we were able to get to you. You had a good point to go out on. I appreciate that. I was hoping for that. So thank you so much.
Yep, thank you.
All right. Well, thanks for listening tonight, everybody, as well. And I hope you'll join us again next time. We'll be on Friday afternoon at 1:30 and then next Sunday at 11 o'clock. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station.